Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Is Roderick Strong leaving the Undisputed Era? Say it isn't so. I am Alfakador Laurie Blake. This is Chopper Pete Quinnell, and monitoring the comments is Randy Andy Datson from WrestleTalk.com, and he's being overseen by a rogue Ollie Davis.
This is actually an unusual dream of mine from last night. But catch WrestleTalk.com, all the news updates, all lots of fun lists and things like that. So catch that every day. That's WrestleTalk.com. Back to the studio.
He snuck in an unpracticed plug there. How dare he? Anyway, on to the main topic, because the NXT following NXT TakeOver New York was...
Oh, we should probably say, by the way, Luke isn't here. I'm here instead, because Luke is off. Sorry.
Interrupt him. Yeah, Luke's having a day off because he's been live streaming for 5 days straight.
Yeah,
so.
Luke, he deserves a day off, so I'm here instead. Sorry.
If it goes wrong, that's why, because we have no idea what we're doing.
Yes, pretty much. Anywho, you were saying.
So the NXT after NXT TakeOver New York is usually a collection of recap packages and matches that were on the pre-show of NXT TakeOver. Therefore, we have picked on the smallest moment to talk about from the show, which is there was a backstage clip of Adam Cole post-NXT TakeOver New York having a bit of a hissy fit because his mates didn't help him win the title from Johnny Gargano, who won it. 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah, he was not a happy chappy, to say the least. He comes to the backstage and the four of them are all disagreeing. He's like, oh man, I thought you had that. And he was like, I totally had that. Like, my God, how could you not see that I had that? And then he specifically, we've seen it before where he'll just get upset at not winning the title. That's something. But this time he specifically turns to Roderick Strong and says, hey, Roddy, specifically, what do you think you were doing?
Yeah, why was he picking on Roddy?
I don't know. Like, Roddy was the first guy to come out who initiated the whole attack.
Yeah, so Roddy jumps up onto the apron during that match and caused the distraction that allowed O'Reilly to break up the Gargano escape,
exactly,
which was where Adam Cole was tapping, but the referee didn't see. So actually, Roddy was the one who did the work.
Exactly. Roddy was the good guy here. Yeah, which was interesting. And then after he has a go at Roddy, Roddy's like, hey, man, what? Mm-hmm. And then Cole and sees a cameraman filming them and he says, hey, stop recording. And then it just cuts out.
Yes. So this is like one of the first. There's been hints of dissension in the ranks amongst the Undisputed Era before, but they always tend to, on camera, provide a united front. They're meant to be, you know, they are their sort of special group and they're going to take over NXT as far as they're concerned. This is kind of the first time where WWE seems to be really pushing the idea that a breakup or at least someone splintering off could be happening. And it looks like it's going to be last one in, first one out with Roderick Strong. What would you, how would you feel about that? Do you want that to happen?
Heartbroken, I think. No, it would be awful. I mean,
the beginning of heartache.
I mean, the trio, when they originally debuted, were a fantastic trio, and I'm not taking that away. If Roderick Strong were to leave Undisputed Era, they would still be amazing, because they're still a fantastic trio. But I think as a four, they're even better.
Yes.
So I wouldn't like it, because Undisputed Era are one of the best things NXT has ever had, And I think messing with that golden formula that they have of the four of them is misguided, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
There's several ways it could go, though, because it might not be just Roddy leaving. There was also rumors of Shafir joining the Undisputed mm-hmm. Era before. And, of course, Shafir is the wife of Roderick Strong.
Maybe she pushes him out.
Yeah, maybe she replaces Strong. Yeah. No, but
I wear the trousers in this relationship, Roddy.
But it could be something like Strong does end up excommunicating from Era, and he forms this kind of like team with Shafir mm-hmm. while Duke goes up to the main roster or something. Yeah. I don't know.
The Undisputed Era Wolf Pack.
Exactly, yeah. They start wearing black and red instead. Mm. Yeah, it'd be great. Or it could be like Roddy is in the bad books with Era, and Shafir's the one that comes in and kind of saves them all,
yeah.
and that's how she's inserted into the Undisputed Era. It could be that the whole group just dissolves into, this is just the first step, and everything goes terribly wrong. And then they have Cole as a single star, and maybe they have O'Reilly and Fisher's Red Dragon again, and then they have Roddy is a single star again. I don't know.
See,
there's
so
many possibilities.
So I'm actually much more of the opinion that this could be a way to push Cole out.
Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
I know
yeah.
Cole is obviously the sort of the big ticket item of the Undisputed mm-hmm. Era. He's probably the most over man in NXT of all time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think
by saying his name,
pushing him out, by saying his own name and then a ridiculous catchphrase, but by pushing him out of the Undisputed Era, you leave the sort of door open for him to go up to the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
And for Roddy and Shafir, if she comes in, to sort of form the new backbone of an Undisputed Era that can continue as an NXT-branded group as members begin to come in and out and take over the reins of running the Undisputed Era, almost like a Bullet Club kind of deal you know, it doesn't have to be... It's only tied to these people who are running it. It's whoever happens to be there. And then you can have leadership disputes and people taking over mm-hmm. and all that kind of fun stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
But this could also just be a way to give Adam Cole something to do, which isn't immediately go for the NXT Championship again. Yeah. I think that's the other big thing, is because Johnny Gargano is going to have a few different challenges, and we can't just always have, as good as the match was, we can't just have Cole versus Gargano every week on NXT
or
every takeover from now until forever, because it will get stale at some point.
Unfortunately,
I don't know how I don't know how soon, very far in the future, but I don't want them to break up.
No,
and I don't know whether that's just
thing.
Me being selfish or whether that's like, maybe there's, you know, because a few times before I didn't want DIY to break up, but when they did, I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
So potentially them breaking up could be one of the greatest things. But I also feel like the clue is in the name with the Undisputed Era. And maybe they shouldn't have ever called themselves the Undisputed Era until they actually became like an undisputed, owning all the championships group. But that's what I've always wanted to see with them. I've always wanted to see them run NXT, because if they don't do it in NXT, there's no way they're going to go up to the main roster and they're suddenly going to be like, we have all the championships, because what stars have to align for that booking? Like, they'll forget about they're doing that booking 2 weeks in and be like, oh, no, he's lost the championship now.
Yeah.
We'll never get, like, they'll be tag team champions forever when they get to the main roster, just because they'll forget that the Raw tag titles exist for a while. Again, the Revival there in the back going, why do you always forget? I would really want to see them in NXT take over the whole brand, because they could, with the level of storytelling that NXT manages to pull off, just take over the whole show and make it all about them for a good 3 month period between two takeovers. And that could be a really, really interesting thing.
Yeah. And the crowd response from NXT of having everything, all the storylines about Undisputed Era, I think would be positive, because like you said, they're one of the most over groups in the history of ever. And having more Undisputed Era is something everybody wants, because they're great. So I think having them be the focus, the primary focus of kind of everything moving forwards, would be amazing. To have Cole in that NXT Championship picture, although we just said probably not Cole against Gargano immediately, but whatever. But then
Cole
you
versus
have, like,
Riddle, if Riddle is the next, you know, if you imagine, like, Riddle might be the next challenge of Johnny Gargano's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Even if that was like a number one contendership kind of feud that way, having that still be kind of main event level while not being the main event necessarily. But then you got all the other pieces going on. And if Shafir does end up, or even if they have like another woman join...
Another one?
They have someone else join the era and they can take over the women's division as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe Shayna Baszler joins Undisputed Era. That would be mental.
Mm-hmm. She wouldn't fit. She's not jokes.
I now regret saying that immediately. Yeah. But... Yeah,
I mean, they teased Tainara Conti initially, didn't they? Like in the when they first turned up, they teased that. So yeah,
which was something.
She's less jokes.
Less jokes. But yeah, I think as many possibilities that they have going forwards with this dissension and potential breakups and storylines, none of them are as good as just keeping them together because they're just that good, and I just want to see them flourish and grow, and that's it. I want to see them cement themselves as the dominant NXT force before some main roster call-up happens, if it ever happens. I want them to be that dominant unit before they move up, because if they're not, they might run the risk of fallen by the wayside on the main roster. I mean, there's a chance of that happening anyway, regardless. But I think if they become that dominant force where they have all the storylines surrounding them, they're holding all the championships, it's kind of hard for Vince McMahon to look at that and just be like, nah, not going to focus on that. Because they've been that force, taking over a whole program for that long. It's something that he can't really ignore.
That leaves you with that sort of that two options of what they're going to do, whether the Undisputed Era grow themselves to the point where they're like, we are NXT now, and whether then that whole unit moves up to the main roster and then they have to deal with that kind of influx of this sort of hostile takeover style group just turning up on the doorstep being like, hi, we're here for all your championships, or whether it's, you know, it's the more the Bullet Club thing and it's a NXT only brand that people come in and out of. I wouldn't mind either way, but I kind of want to see the group. They've had a bad year. Like they've had a really bad year. They've lost the tag belts. They haven't won the NXT championship. Mm-hmm. Maybe Roddy wins the North American championship somewhere down the line. It's like, see, I am the good one. I don't know. But like, I think we need to start doing something with the Undisputed Era that isn't just them having amazing matches and getting nowhere.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I think that's the main thing, is they've always fallen short. And while Cole has won the North American championship, he lost it very quickly to Ricochet. Mm. And Undisputed Era, one of the longest reigning tag champions in NXT history. And that was really great. And they put on some really great matches while they were doing it. But it was the tag belts. And meanwhile, the rest of the group were doing
it was kind of a time in NXT where they were waiting for that next crop of tag title challenges anyway.
Exactly.
So it was, you know, until the War Raiders came along, there wasn't anyone in NXT I was looking at going like, oh, they could have the belts. Oh, they could have the belts. Mm-hmm. Oh, they could have it. You know, Street Profits were the only ones floating around. And they're still, even in NXT's eyes, not main event picture.
No.
You know, not takeover card worthy.
No, act. Exactly. Yeah. And then, but then they had Larkin and Birch, and it's a great match, but they're not going to be winning the tag belts. Mm-hmm. And they had a thing with Mustache Mountain. And although Mustache Mountain won the belts, it wasn't like this long drawn out feud. It wasn't, I don't think it was seen as like a legitimate switch. It was more of
like just a Blackpool moment.
Yeah, exactly. It was
just
a moment
for Blackpool.
It was just a moment, which then, and then they won the tag title.
I think it was
Blackpool. Back. Probably Blackpool.
I think it was Blackpool. Might have been the Royal Albert Hall. Who knows?
One of the two. Yeah. But then they just won the tag belts back straight away. It was more of a storyline beat than it was like a legitimate switch and a changing of the guard of the NXT tag titles. So they've not really, as great as they are, they've not done much that, honestly. And I want to see them do a lot before they move up. So I want to see them hold all the titles. Like you said, they need to be undisputed. It's in the name. They've got to do it.
I agree. Well, let us know what you think in the comments if you're watching. What do you think the Undisputed Era should be doing? We'll be going into the main show proper in a moment. But first, Randy Andy Datson, what have you got?
Hello. It was the Royal Albert Hall.
It was Albert Hall. Yeah. That's good.
I really just wanted to do an accent.
Just like to apologise to anyone who can't see our stream. YouTube is having a lot of problems today. I couldn't watch a few videos earlier on other channels.
Awesome.
So it is not just us, we promise. So apologies to those people, but I'm sure they'll fix it soon and the stream will be available later for those people.
Come back and watch. Sure. With faces this time.
Yes, and we have some super chats from John Inowatso, possibly, who's donated just to say it's great to see Chopper here.
Hey!
So, done on giving that money there, Pete. Start Recording, who's one of our most frequent donators, says, which current WWE star's name would make the best pet name?
The best pet name?
Kushida.
Oh, little Kushy. Oh, little Kushy.
Kushy, Kushy, Kushy. Come on, that'd be great.
Kushida. Kushida's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. HCP ass in says, oh, I love Undisputed Era, but wouldn't have them collecting titles now because that would stifle the fresher arrivals.
I mean, that is a fair point. I think we could probably do 3 months of just that and then get rid of them. But I think it's just a case of maybe this isn't the time to do a breakup angle if they're probably going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
But NXT likes to keep the kind of a steady hand on the tiller, knocking around. Like, it would be good to get rid of Baszler to a degree because she's capped that division. The North American title is a perfect one for all this new crop of talent to kind of take on and have a go at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Johnny Gargano will probably be a fighting champion and defend on a near constant level.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the way they would go with him. I think they would make him quite an honourable champion and be like, well, I'll defend it multiple times.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
There's an ability to have a high turnover of people going through that kind of thing. So
yeah, for sure.
There's stuff for people to do while the Undisputed Era sort of work away at maybe having a takeover match for all the belts. And then that's just, we just do one takeover. They have it all for one little bit of time.
Yep.
And then they all go away.
Yeah, exactly. I think, even if it's, you can have like one long reign in there, whether it be for the NXT or the tag titles or the North American, you can have one that reigns for a long time, possibly even after, you know, the rest of them lose the belts.
Mm-hmm.
But then you just have for one night or for one like cycle between takeovers, they're all the champions.
Yeah, it just needs to be a moment.
It's
in time,
it's a
to
moment
be like,
where they hold all the titles.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then they can start dropping
that's when
them
they
after
just
that.
Go, bye.
Yeah, and then they go, right, we did our thing now. Here's all the titles. See you later off. Main roster, here we come.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
Jay-Z says, Laurie, really enjoyed you this weekend. Brackets, oof, that sounds so wrong. Close brackets.
Oh.
Chopper, congrats on your call up. It was a genuinely wonderful moment. Brackets, your significant other's reaction was priceless. Well done.
She just screamed.
She did just scream, yeah. It was great.
And then Spencer O says, Bird Raptor equals Skeksis from Dark Crystal. I have no idea what that means.
It's the David Bowie film with all the
Henson
puppets. I don't know which specific character it is, but I feel like it looks like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I could see it being part of it, sure.
It's like a gremlin-y type thing.
It is. It's weird. It has weird
it's
skin.
It's rubbish is what it is.
Yeah.
It's rubbish.
Terrible.
Isn't it nonsense?
Terrible is what it is.
I've got Ant the Great saying, Pete, keep up the great work. You're awesome. Oh, you're awesome. Question, would you ever play games with subs, Switch, PS4, etc., and should they bring up... So that's one question. So
will we play games with subscribers and Screen Stalker? Most likely at some point.
Yeah, I wouldn't see why not. Yeah.
I'm on me still. So I'm getting used to this. Andy's
doing his own vision mixing
should
today.
They bring up,
and lo and behold, he's keeping it on himself.
Should they bring up no more than two NXT superstars after every big pay-per-view?
Should they bring, so how many? So
only two.
Only two?
After each big pay-per-view, though? Or was it
during? I think there's an argument to be made. I don't think they should cap, like, have a hard limit on how many you do or whether you do it after every big pay-per-view. The point should be, I think, that people should be allowed to turn up whenever it's kind of necessary for a little lift. Like, how mad did everyone go when DIY appeared and Aleister Black and Ricochet came up, like, out from, you know, almost unannounced? Like, people were just like, oh, my lord, like, this is happening. This is awesome. You should be able to do that with people from NXT and from 205, and we'll get onto that in a bit because that's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you should be able to have people rotating around. It's all the same company.
Yeah,
they should be able to appear where they're needed to get the relevant reaction, right?
Yep.
Like,
exactly
relevant
yeah.
erection. Goodness.
Yes. And Jobber JJ finally says, how long can you see Dream and Gargano being champion?
Gargano, not very long, I don't think. I think he's probably got one takeover in him, and then that might be it. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I feel like he's destined for the main roster as he's already been there.
Yeah.
And had to come back because of a series of unfortunate events. Dream, I could see being champion for a little while at least, because I think he's probably owed it as well. Like, he did such good work putting over everybody else for the last couple of years by just having amazing takeover matches with everyone. Maybe it's time for some people to put him over and in the process catch a little bit of the shine off him, you know?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think
a bit of the spotlight, as he put it.
I think Gargano will either drop it at the next takeover or retain for one and drop it at the subsequent one. Mm-hmm. I don't think it will go longer than that, depending who his challengers are, of course.
Yeah.
But I don't think he should probably hold it for longer than that, because Gargano was all about the chase of the title.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's going to gain much from maintaining the championship.
Well, Johnny Champion is no longer the underdog.
And exactly.
I think he loses a lot of his groundswell of... Mm. So, I mean, it's probably, see how it plays out with Kofi as well, but it's a very similar deal to Kofi. Kofi felt like the underdog and like he'd worked hard to deserve it. But once you've got it, it kind of feels a bit like it's a bit flat to carry on with it, isn't it?
Exactly,
like,
yeah. It's all about the chase.
There's only going to be so many huge pops that Kofi's going to get for being champion.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to start, I think, sooner than you think, tailing off now. Yep. That people are going to be like, oh, he's champion. Okay, well, I'm kind of used to Kofi the champion now.
Yeah,
so maybe I won't go crazy when he comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think, yeah, Gargano, short term. Dream, I think a similar length. I don't think he's got too much left in him. Like, he beat Riddle via roll-up at TakeOver New York.
He survived.
He survived against Riddle. Earned his respect, but I think Riddle's... I think they've got bigger things planned for Riddle anyways, so that's not a huge deal.
But, shoes, eventually.
Yes, exactly, yeah. But I think, again, depending who his challenges are and how it plays out, I think he's probably got not that long. Maybe next TakeOver or before that.
Excellent.
That's what I reckon.
Is that everything, Randy?
That is everything for now. There are a couple more, but we will ask those later.
Cool.
So back to you in the studio.
Thank you.
Fantabulous.
Thank you, roving weather reporter Randy Gatson.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
So this episode of NXT kicked off with a lovely little recap package of what happened at TakeOver New York. Wasn't it a blinding show?
Oh.
Wasn't it?
Oh.
We then got the new title sequence, which features Slipknot. I think it's Slipknot.
It's Slipknot,
All Out Life.
Yep. It is. It's
aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very aggressive. And it was good after the first, like, 10, 15 seconds of all the wrestlers being there and, like, singing along to the music was a little bit weird. After that, when they just started showing, you know, the normal opening package of wrestlers doing moves in time with the music, it was cool. It's aggressive, but cool. But it was just a bit weird.
It's not as good as the old theme, is it? No, it's not. Like, I really like the new shots that they've done. I actually really like all the main cast in the, like, and actually it technically turned out that was a spoiler for TakeOver with Johnny leading all of the people to the ring, and because that was used in the Adam Cole promo package with Johnny leading all the NXT roster to the ring. And turns out that was just a spoiler for the title sequence going forward. But I like all that stuff. That stuff looks great.
Yeah.
But the song, my God. It's just... and it's probably also because we watch it in the morning. Because it airs... Obviously, it airs on the WWE Network quite late at night for us, so we get up and watch it quite early in the morning. So at 6 o'clock this morning, I was listening. The first thing I did was get out of bed and listen to Slipknot. And I was like, this is not my normal morning.
Yeah, I'm not 13 anymore. I can't really handle that.
So, yeah, my overall review is, let's go back to the old one. It was much better.
Let's go back to the very first NXT theme, which was Welcome Home by Coheed and Cambria, and it was great. I loved it.
We could just go back to the last one. It's fine. After that, we got Candice LeRae versus Aaliyah.
Aaliyah.
And Vanessa Bourne.
Yeah.
Is this, I don't know, but is this Aaliyah's first match on a, like, near a takeover? Takeover adjacent?
Maybe.
Probably.
I haven't kept up with the happenings of Aaliyah, I'll
be
honest.
She's been there 5 years.
A long time.
She's had plenty of time to be involved on a takeover card.
I mean, but she's been struggling to even be on NXT TV for many of those years.
Yes.
So,
fortunately, they've run out of women now. They've
caught them all up. Yeah. Now there's no more Four Horsewomen. They're like, well, I guess Aaliyah's still here, so guess your time's now. I think probably the largest crowd she's performed in front of in WWE at the very least. I'm not sure of her history before that. I don't know if she has any history before that. But... definitely the largest crowd that I've seen her perform in front of. And I think she did all right.
This match was okay.
It was okay.
I thought, yeah, it wasn't a particularly good... It wasn't a major showcase for either
competitor,
really. It was mostly about the sort of the beatdown and then Candice's springy comeback.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is so small that she looks like she's in fast motion. She moves like a mouse in my mind. I was watching it just like... And I was like... Oh. She moves at sort of slightly different.
That's great.
Yeah, but she's. I think Candice is great, and
yeah,
I think Candice equally could have a very similar career trajectory in NXT to Johnny Gargano.
Yeah.
Like she would be another perfect fit for that template of storyline of like someone is an ultimate underdog. Like me and Luke were saying last week when we were discussing it, saying who would be next for Shayna Baszler. Top of my list was Candice LeRae.
Yeah.
He was saying Dakota Kai, but I feel like they occupy a very similar space in the mindset of the audience, which is quite kind of like they're a cutesy presented character who is the kind of archetypical underdog.
Yes.
And I think Candice plays that very well. And here she actually looked pretty strong.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know... She got a bit of a beatdown, and then she came out of it with, like, she's got cool moves.
She does have cool, interesting
stuff that she can do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see her get pushed, and I don't know why she's been in NXT so long and just been left kind of on the sidelines.
And been the side piece of the Gargano Ciampa feud. It was a bit weird, but, she was...
I guess you don't want to overcomplicate things.
No, of course. But it was just...
When someone's so talented, why would you just leave them on the sidelines?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but I think there was... A couple bits of this match that made me chuckle, which was a bit weird when Aaliyah took down LeRae with something. I can't remember what, but she climbed the turnbuckle and did a taunt to the crowd. And I'm pretty sure she said, wrestling, cheer for me. It was like,
oh,
wrestling?
This was the classic, cheer for me.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah. She was
same
supposed
as
to get this
mega ran at the G1 Supercard.
Yeah. And obviously,
scream if you like wrestling.
Boo. Yeah, she just said, wrestling, cheer for me. It's like, huh? But whatever, sure. And then the end was interesting to me. So Candice LeRae won with a lion salt, which looked very cool. Looked awesome. Was it botched? Did they edit it?
I think it was botched. I think she because she barely clipped her with the top of her head and her like arms up here, and so like most of her body weight landed further back.
Yeah.
In the, so she, I think she just bashed her knee as she landed, because she was then holding her knee for a bit on the floor.
Yeah.
Took her a while to get up and actually celebrate, and then she was visibly sort of shaking it off.
Yeah.
And they didn't really do an angle with it. They just, you know,
no,
Vanessa Bourne sort of came in and just rolled Aaliyah out of the ring, and then they carried like, and then she got to celebrate in front of the crowd. But
yeah.
Yeah, it definitely felt like she was just genuinely getting a bit of pain out of that joint and trying to work it over, so she was fine again.
The thing that I noticed, and I don't know if you did or not, was the crowd reacted a bit weird to LeRae coming in. As she jumped up for the lion salt, it seemed like the crowd were already reacting to something.
Ooh.
And then they like cut camera angles and she did the lion salt. And when she first jumped, it seemed like she jumped at like a really awkward angle, like she might have like fell off the ropes or something,
so
initially, and they edited it out.
She did a proper botch,
yeah.
And then she...
Yeah, I think
they
she...
cut into another perfect lion salt.
Yeah, exactly.
Why
would
you just use the
been...
second perfect lion salt?
I don't know. But I think that might have been
editing,
where she might have hurt her knee, maybe. Mm. I think she might have done like a little botch and then got back up and did it. And the crowd were like, ooh, at the first one, because she botched it. And then they used that sound, but for the second, like, it was weird. It just, I might just be completely talking complete nonsense now, but that's what I heard when I was watching. I was like, that seems a bit weird. Well, maybe they edited that.
So there is talk of Candice going up to the main roster. She's one person that apparently there's been some interest in.
Yeah.
She was obviously in the Women's Battle Royal at WrestleMania, as was Kairi Sane, another person who's been sort of, people have been hovering around for the idea.
And the Women's Royal Rumble as well.
Yeah, but more on that in a bit. The next, we had a recap of Dream versus Riddle, which was a wicked match.
It was.
We then got a backstage segment from Mania with Dream doing a little promo package on his phone.
This was so good.
He's chatting away, and then he goes, oh, here's Buddy Murphy, who's walking backstage just after having lost the Cruiserweight Championship, you assume, to Tony Nese.
Mm-hmm.
He says, here's a man who couldn't handle the spotlight as Buddy walks up. And he sort of, Buddy Murphy throws up a peace sign and walks on. And he says, like, yeah, as he walks past, he says, here's a man who couldn't handle the spotlight. Buddy stops, and he's like, you what? And Dream is like, you couldn't handle the spotlight, could you? You couldn't, you just, you know, you just lost your title. And he's like, where's your title, mate? Where's your title? Buddy says some harsh words and wanders off.
Yeah.
And Dream.
So good. Yeah. Dream is amazing.
Dream
I love
says,
him so much.
Yeah. Buddy says, oh, no, Buddy says he stole the show.
Yeah,
and Dream
he stole
says,
the
oh,
show.
You want to see a real show stealing? Go watch TakeOver on the Network.
Watch TakeOver on the Network.
Go watch Dream versus Riddle.
Dream versus
because
Riddle.
That was the
check
real spotlight. This
so
was.
Good.
And I don't know if Buddy Murphy knew it, but this was to set up a match for next week on NXT, which would be Buddy Murphy coming along to NXT to take on Velveteen Dream for the North American title.
Yes, please.
Which I cannot wait for.
Yeah, I think that would be class.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. And I think it's also going to be cool because it's a homecoming for Buddy Murphy as well.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for Wesley Blake, who's got to watch him come back and get this like huge, get this huge pop, and Wesley Blake will come out where it's like, "Do unto others,"
do
and everyone
unto
goes,
others.
"But nobody likes
nobody
you,
likes you,
sons.
Stop it!"
But I mean, that is a cool match, and this is exactly what I was saying about the fact that people should just be able to rotate around, especially in NXT, NXT UK, and 205, these smaller network-only brands like. You should be able to move the pieces around because you'll get reactions like that. I was like, I didn't think I'd see Dream versus Buddy Murphy. And now I'm super excited to see it.
I definitely want to. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, we've had, even on like house shows and random live events, we've had people come down from the main roster, like Tyler Breeze and Luke Harper and Bailey and Banks. And when they make these appearances, they get these massive reactions because they're great. They should just do that more often. Just
move
people
around. Bailey
and Banks
promised they'd come down for a title match and... They were lying.
They didn't, because they couldn't retain their titles.
No, because Sasha Banks is involved.
Yeah.
Can't retain anything.
No, she can't. She's awful.
So then we got War Raiders versus... She's awful. Harsh word. We got War Raiders versus Ricka Black. A recap of that match, which
R&B.
Was another amazing match.
It was.
We then got to see Kushida signing his contract. The long and the short of it was that William Regal is very excited about this, and Triple H, I'm also very excited about
this. I'm also very excited
about
this.
And Kushida was very excited too.
He was.
But I'm not going to do his accent.
No, but he actually sounded all right, though. Like, you know, when they normally have some people come in, especially from, you know, places like Japan and stuff, who have a very different language. Sometimes there's a bit of language where they kind of, especially on their signing when they haven't learned English too much yet, they're just kind of a bit silent and just kind of sign the thing and smile and nod. Kushida was just speaking English, mm-hmm. like normal, which is a good sign because it means he can kind of talk,
yeah.
which is good. And that's one of the things that, you know, always holds back people.
It's one of the reasons they don't like to push people on the main roster is because they can't do 20-minute promo sections.
Can't do 20-minute promos.
Where they set up a six-person tag match at the end of Raw.
Kushida was great.
We then got Danny Burch versus Jackson Ryker. Danny Burch had only Lorcan in his corner, and Ryker had the Forgotten Sons.
Yes. Lorcan's a face, despite being a heel in 205.
Yes, yeah. Who knows?
Continuity.
That's why they're hiring a continuity scriptwriter, which you can see in the news today. So this was
Kenara continuity.
Okay, like I thought this started off really well because Danny Burch was in control, and he came to this with serious fire.
He did.
Like drop kicks and headbutts and uppercuts, and he was really fired up. And then he did this enziguri that Ryker just swatted out of the air, which I've. It wasn't like a block. It was literally just a
as he came up.
It was like it was like a Street Fighter parry. I've got you there.
Yeah.
And then from that point forward, it still seemed like it was going to be a really strong match because Ryker was hitting him with everything he had quickly.
Yes.
And then it turned into a classic Jackson Ryker Forgotten Sons
Baron Corbin match
of slowly dominating through power.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind. I just want to see it done a bit more with a bit of pace. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know why you would start with this crazy, like, I know we're gonna do a comeback at some point, and yeah, everyone will get into that. But why can't the beatdown be methodical and quick?
Yeah,
I don't know why the methodical aspect of it has to take away all of the pace. And I get that is partly to build, like, that's a heat building mechanic, right? Like, you slow the pace down and you stop giving the fans what they want so they get annoyed.
Yes.
But it doesn't do anything for Jackson Ryker because it doesn't make him look clever.
Like, no, exactly.
He's not pinning him. He's not doing anything particularly damaging. He's just sort of chucking him around a bit.
Just waiting.
And then standing there while if he's lying on the floor and you're not pinning him and you're thinking about what you're doing next, dude's recovering.
Exactly, like, yeah.
So
do more things.
Do more stuff until he's dead, like until you can pin him. And I don't know. So the Suns came in to distract. Lorcan wipes them out with this crazy dive.
It was a great dive.
It wasn't like a top rope tope. It wasn't a suicide dive through the ropes. It was a suicide dive just over the top rope. It was like Roman Reigns' one.
Yeah.
But I think
it was sideways.
Cutler or... I think Cutler was on the apron.
Yeah.
One of them was
on the apron. Yeah, it was on the apron,
and he
just
jumped into him.
Yeah.
And then they both fell off onto the other one.
Yeah, it was...
What an amazing...
Yeah, it was so good. Just Forgotten Sons interfering again. Oh my God, Lorcan, what?
Yeah.
It was literally out of completely nowhere. The camera work was great because you just saw Forgotten Sons interfering and you did not see Lorcan coming out of nowhere. And you just saw him woof, across the side. It was great. Great spot.
So then it all ends with Ryker hitting the Widowmaker, as it's now known.
He's an Overwatch fan. Yeah. Good.
So it's like a power bomby.
It's a choke slam power bomb
doodad. Yeah, I was trying to remember a Widowmaker quote from Overwatch. That's why.
Yeah. No one can hide from my sight.
That's a line. That was it. I mean, French
Overwatch quotes.
But yeah, it just sort of came out of nowhere, and I feel like this.
Yeah.
Again, this match was just the Forgotten Sons killing the mood. They're just vibe killers. Like they were like the other tag team does something, and they were just like, this isn't. And I don't. It doesn't like. There was one match, like this, the semi-final match with. Oh no, the final match with Ricochet and Aleister Black.
Yeah.
That they had in the Dusty Classic really made me think. Oh, these guys are actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything they've done since has made me go back to my original way of thinking, which was. Oh, maybe they're not. Maybe only if they're in there with standout talent who are structuring a match for them, potentially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then it's this crazy thing. Because, they just killed whatever Lorcan and Burch were doing here.
Yeah.
And I know that Danny Burch is very good at, ring psychology. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of the training down in NXT. But this just felt like too... It was boring.
It was really boring
when Ryker was involved.
And the thing is, I couldn't tell you what Riker did, other than like the enziguri that he swatted down and his finisher. Couldn't tell you what was in between them. Nothing was outstanding. It was just boring. There was no like
prowling
cool moves.
Is what he did.
It was just hitting him and just there was nothing interesting about it. And you can have a dominant performance and look cool while doing it. You can be like, hit these big moves, hit these crazy moves that make the crowd go, oh my God, this guy is killing this guy. That's crazy. Mm. But it was just boring because he was just hitting, oh no, he's beaten down. He's beaten down again. It's just, it was
but
same,
if this
same
is
thing.
If this is what it's going to come to with Jackson Riker, just have him squash people and have him do it really quickly because
exactly.
I don't mind him being the muscle of the group. And like you know,
good.
Backing up those guys because he's like he's got the intensity down.
Yeah, and he's got a good look.
But
as
when
well.
He's but when then when he goes into the ring and he's sort of mooching around thinking about what he's doing, that doesn't seem very intense. It seems almost anti his character.
Yeah, exactly.
So for after that disappointing match, we got Baszler. A match recap of Baszler in the four way.
Yep.
From TakeOver New York, another great match.
Was.
We then saw Shayna backstage post-match with the clone of Renee Young that they've hired for NXT. and she said that she defied the odds. It doesn't matter how many girls you've put in front of me, I will take them all out.
Yep.
It was then announced after NXT that Kairi Sane will get a rematch for the NXT Women's Championship with Shayna Baszler. This was a clip that was put out on WWE.com, I believe. Baszler's called into William Regal's office. She says, what do you mean Kyrie's getting another shot? And he's like, well, just done that there. And then she says, okay, I'll give her the shot. But she never gets another shot again.
Yep.
So, sounds like Kyrie's saying go bye-bye.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, my big review of that.
I would be very surprised if Kyrie won, even by DQ. I think Baszler is definitely winning this one. And I think the Sky Pirates are going to SmackDown. That's what I think.
We'll see if that comes to fruition. We then got Walter versus Pete Dunne recap. That was good. There was a backstage segment of Dunne coming out of the curtain looking pissed.
He was quite angry.
And he was like, Pete, you just lost your title, which I would never do to Pete. Like, wander up to 30 seconds after a match and be like, so you lost your title, man. Like, first thing you say.
Yeah. Not you held great, it for 2 years.
Not great match, not brilliant reign.
No.
Well
exactly.
done, Pete. So you lost your title. Pete just looks at him and says, there will be a rematch, and then walks off.
Woo!
That's good.
I didn't think there would be, but yay, I guess.
Good brusqueness.
Another one of them, sure.
I wouldn't mind another match of that, but
no.
I think the same outcome should be applied.
Absolutely.
I think Walter should be retaining.
Walter should be retaining, for sure.
And then we got Gargano versus Cole recap, then that backstage segment with the Undisputed Era we've already talked about.
And that was a full video package for Gargano and Cole, because before it was with the voiceovers of Percy or Nigel or Mauro and a few clips from the match. But this was a full like hype package for Gargano and Cole, because it's the main event and it was super special and amazing moment. So they gave it the full works.
Yeah, it made the opening two falls look a lot better than they were,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know whether I was just tired because we've been up all night watching it, basically. But yeah, the first two falls were quite slow in the match and this made them look snappy. But maybe if you just take out some of the pacing, it
was fine.
We then got the main event of this show, which was the Street Profits versus Aichner and Bartel, the European Union. This was a lot of fun.
This was great.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
This was why the Street Profits should be on the main card. They came out and just looked like they were having a great time.
So much fun.
They were doing a little, they did their normal entrance, and then there was a bit where Angelo Dawkins was just swinging punches at Montez Ford, and he was just dancing along, which was great.
It was great.
He's so charismatic. It's unbelievable.
I know.
And they could, and there was, I think the feeling that they were having fun out here really came through, because there was a point where NXT chants started early on in the match, and Montez Ford just broke into this beaming grin of just like, I can't believe I'm here, can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
This is so much fun. And obviously they've done TakeOver, but like TakeOver pre-show before.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
This was really, really good. They are one of my favorite teams in WWE. They are so, like, Ford specifically is so athletic.
He is, yeah.
It is insane.
Yep.
Like, I think Mauro Ranallo said in the commentary, it's like, he's got the highest vertical leap of anyone in NXT. He's like, yeah.
It's crazy.
No S, Sherlock.
Like, yeah.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's great.
But this was also a bit of a clinic from the European Union, who were, you know, it started off all fun and games from the Street Profits side of things, and then the European Union took over and really turn it up, a notch.
It wasn't
some crazy moves.
They did. It wasn't fun and games for them. They weren't having fun. We had fun though because we were watching them. Mm. It was amazing. They did so many amazing things.
There was a tree of woe, double basement dropkick spot that I really liked, where I think Bartel was on the outside and he does the Roman Reigns drive-by.
Yeah.
And Aichner was in the ring and did the basement dropkick. Mm-hmm. That is a cool double team move.
Very good, yeah.
Then Aichner hit a brain buster. Bartel hits a suicide dive to the other Street Profit who
was
on the outside.
Weird because he went diagonally out of the ring. It wasn't It wasn't like he went out towards the ramp or like towards the commentary table or something. It went out towards the steps. It was like, careful, mate. You're right next to the steps. That could hurt.
He doesn't care.
Those things are solid.
He's too efficient. He knows what
he's doing. Yeah, I know. He's great.
And then Aichner hits his, like, the king of his spots, which was the springboard moonsault that he does.
So
it is so good.
It's amazing. It is an absolute... I know this is a WWE...
Was it the Cruiserweight Classic?
Yeah, Cruiserweight Classic in the first one. I know that's this is a WWE commentary term, and I don't like to quote it too much, but it really is a thing of beauty seeing that. It is amazing to watch. That springboard moonsault is...
Yeah.
And it gets so much height on it as well. Oh, it's just, it's great.
So this felt this match kind of felt like another sort of situation in which the Street Profits kind of survive the barrage because the European Union was setting up for what I assume is their finish, which is Aichner holds them in a powerbomb and Bartel goes to hit a European uppercut off the top.
Yes.
But as they went to do that, Ford drops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dodging the uppercut. So Bartel splats down on the floor.
Yep.
He then brings himself back up into the powerbomb, leaving Dawkins open to hit a running spear and just clattering that whole thing over.
It was awesome. He lifted him up for like an elevated one, like a last ray kind of thing.
Yeah.
And as he popped him up, that's when Dawkins comes in and spears him from underneath, which was just, it was just perfect timing. It was great.
They went back to their corner. Montez Ford did an up and over spot in the corner. Dawkins tags himself in as that happens, and Ford lands on the outside and begins climbing the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
So Dawkins can set up the electric chair for their blockbuster finish, and they get the win.
Yeah, it was great.
That was a great match. That felt like what the warm up stuff for TakeOver should have been, not Aaliyah and the Forgotten Sons. This really felt like if I was going to put on a show and I was like, I want people to get hype. But not too hype for these five matches of pure awesomeness that are about to come. That's what I would have put on, like to warm up before Aleister Black and Ricochet and the War Raiders tear the house down.
And I mean, admittedly, that was the quote-unquote main event of this show, which then would have been the last match before Black and Ricochet came up for the main show, which left the crowd on a very high note, which left them very excited for Black and Ricochet. So it was a good choice to have it on last, but just have more of those.
Yeah.
More fun things. Just clone Street Profits and make them can't do other matches as well.
That's it. We need more Street Profits. Randy, what's going on in the comments? Because that is the show from NXT.
That is the show.
Yes. Well, someone called Luke Owen? Has said,
no idea who that is.
He's jumped in and said that he thinks that Luke, who normally does this, is a really good presenter, and that the stream is missing him. But
I don't think so.
Nah.
And someone asked me to read as soothingly as possible for whatever reason. So I will try.
Elongating
my
words.
What is the question? HCPSS in again says. Undisputed takeover, possible future idea for NXT if they get a female stablemate, which is twinned with another question from earlier, which was, what if they all turn on Adam Cole?
Yeah,
I think kicking Adam Cole out of the Undisputed era could be a cool thing to do.
I think
use the blueprint of the Bullet Club takeovers that they've had, like when the leader gets. When you kill the king and you bring a new king in.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind seeing that with Adam Cole because then he's free to go up to the main roster and sort of
and I mean
make good on all of his overness.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a very good single star, no doubt.
I just think he's better with the group around
exactly,
him.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, yeah.
That's the thing that I was saying earlier. It would be great to see him as a single star. I would worry about the direction of Undisputed Era without him.
Well, all of his best stuff on the indies was... in groups, like it was Bullet Club or Kingdom or stuff like that, you know, like Adam Cole thrives in an environment where he can be the snivelling, sneaky heel that he's so good at being.
Absolutely, yeah.
He's so fundamentally good when he's backed up by, like, he's obviously a great single star and has proven it multiple times on NXT, where he has all these matches where he comes in and it's just like, no, just me today. Not yeah. You guys yeah. stay in the back, it's just yeah. me. But then having the extra backup makes his cockiness even more brilliant, because yes. you always read that extra layer into it. Even the matches where he's come out and he's won them on his own, you're like, but you knew you had three mates there.
Yeah,
if it was going
exactly,
really badly,
yeah.
you knew you had three mates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'd worry about Era if he did leave, but it could happen. It could work if they did it right.
Turn off.
That's not me. That's someone
else. No, I know.
Yeah, no, that was me.
Oh, sorry. Blake Carpenter asks, SummerSlam 2019, The Craftsman Blake Carpenter versus El Fakador Laurie Blake. Name versus name match. Book it.
Can't win my name. It's my name. I wouldn't have a match at SummerSlam. I'm retired from wrestling. After that one match. After that one match with Oliver.
Jay-Z says...
Why are you talking in a lower octave?
Because
Stop
someone
it.
Told me to speak more soothingly.
It's weird.
If you could bring up one NXT superstar and make them a heel, who would it be, other than the Undisputed Era?
Well, they're already heel, so I'm assuming if we call up a face and turn them heel. Because if turn
I
up,
guess.
If
Dream. We... Fully heel Dream, like... I mean, he smacked at that in when he first started the ego and stuff, and then he was so charismatic he won everyone over. Mm-hmm. I would like to see the challenge with Dream would be, can he lose how over he is?
Yeah, that's true.
And make people believe that he's actually a bad guy.
I can't think of anyone else. Yeah, Dream's good.
Like, literally. Riddle would be another great one.
Yeah,
I'd like to see like
Riddle
a proper
work.
Like, you know, let's drop the whole bro. Like, let's see a serious Riddle come out and actually
I love
just
serious
be like,
Riddle.
Because he's very good,
so
at,
good.
He's good at flip-flopping back between them, and like it's part of his
flip-flop.
Yeah. He's good at flip-flops and flip-flopping back to his like bro-ish mm-hmm. outside of the ring character, and his in-ring I'm doing some serious work here.
In-ring
so I'd,
MMA,
but I would love
I
to see
you.
Him just coming out and being like, I will kill you from the off.
Yeah. He's great.
Luke's having a lot of fun in the comments. Jobber.jj.
Luke, take a day off.
496.
Yeah. Take a knee, Luke. Take a knee.
Jobber.jj. 496 says, what next for Belair? She has passed and tapped out to Baszler. Who can Paige manage to go against the Iconics? Rumor of an NXT team?
What?
So, I don't know if Andy's taking out the punctuation.
I'm reading it exactly
yeah,
as it is.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the big rumors from NXT going up and being Paige's team is the Sky Pirates.
Yes.
And it seems like the Sane versus Shayna Baszler match is setting that up too, with the idea
yes.
that if Sane loses, then she can't challenge for the title again, which kind of means you're capped off in NXT. There's
yeah.
no more for you to
you
do.
You can't really do anything else because yeah. it's just the one title you can only go
so
for.
So that seems like then those two could potentially just
yeah.
go up and work together on the main roster. But I
like
also
that.
Don't necessarily think Io Shirai is done in NXT. Like,
no,
she's got
that's
more
the
to
thing.
Do.
Yeah.
Because if we move Sane and Shirai, Baszler's got to be coming towards the end of her tenure in NXT, you would imagine.
One would think.
Bianca Belair, like you said, is... What can she do now? Like she's tapped to
other than
she's been knocked out and she's tapped to
challenge
Baszler.
Again.
Well, she can challenge again and it'd be third time lucky. But at some point, you know, she's gonna start thinking she is Dirt Feet Ted.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
She has been a few times
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
So who's next? Like Candice.
Candice Dakota
who's
Kai.
Currently in that award-winning feud with Aaliyah. Like. In the process of trying to get to Vanessa Bourne.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The women's division, if Sane and Shirai leave, does feel a little sparse.
It does, yeah.
But it has got an influx of talent coming in the form of, like, Lacey Lane and Chelsea Green when they eventually all show up. So,
it's true.
You know, it's kind of... after the post-Superstar shakeup, we could be seeing a very different NXT.
It's true. I just hope they don't get gutted too much from the Superstar shakeup, because, like you said, there's not many people left. And if they all go up... Whew, they're going to have to rebuild some stars real quick.
Yeah, well, that's probably why Baszler is keeping the belt, just as, like, she can just be this over guy, this, like, overseeing presence, and in the process, make stars out of Duke and Shafir.
Yeah. That would be good.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Last question, and then I'll sign off. Start Recording says, Would you say Elias is the low-key most successful NXT call-up since Reigns and Rollins in terms of pure popularity?
Oh, that's a really good question.
In terms of pure popularity, yes. Yeah, I'd say so. Elias is very over.
Elias has tapped into that thing. He, quite smartly, I think, found something that a TV show needs and not a wrestling program needs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he,
good point.
In NXT, he wasn't much to write home about. The Drifter character was naff.
Yeah.
His matches were a bit lackluster. The only good thing about Elias in NXT was the original set of promo packages when it was like he was on his way and it was like all dusty and like had atmosphere.
It was cool.
And then when he found the sort of the songs and the takedowns and all that stuff on the main roster, he cemented his position as having that ability to be on any show because realistically, Raw or SmackDown or WrestleMania are variety shows. Like they're built around wrestling. But what WWE is always trying to do is give you segments and things that are different. So that's why Fashion Police found their own bit with, you know, the Fashion Files.
True.
Elias Sings, Moment of Bliss, Miz TV, all of these little bits that people do outside of the wrestling to pad 3 hours out, basically, on Raw. Like, if you can find something like that, you're always going to get over. In the same way that the New Day did, I think, with their, like, because their entrance has... that wherever you are, they have themselves in the position where WWE will always fall on them to be like, can you open this show?
Yeah.
Can you do Enzo and Cass had it before they went off
yeah,
the rails.
True.
Like, you know, they that same thing. Enzo and Cass were coming out at the beginning of pay-per-views or on Raw and SmackDown to warm the crowd up. Like
yeah.
These bits, if you can find those bits, then you will always have a place in WWE, even if your wrestling's not fantastic.
Yeah. And I mean his wrestling's fine.
He's got a lot better, I think.
He's got a good knee lift. That's something. And his finish is
He's got a good look.
Okay. Like, yes, yeah, he does have a very good look.
I really like him as a character, but he's better when he's doing music and being interrupted.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, that's the. I think the sad truth of it is the R-truth of it is that sometimes they just want you to sing and dance.
Yeah, unfortunately. But I think Elias is the low-key best NXT caller, especially in recent times. I wouldn't count Drew McIntyre. Because he was already main roster before he was NXT. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't count as NXT call-up. Go ahead.
Luke Owen has slid into my DMs to say,
oh boy.
What about Becky Lynch?
I mean, Becky Lynch is a good shout. A very good shout.
I was thinking
it
they
took
meant
her a
in,
long
like,
time,
recent-ish.
Though. I think, like, and I think she's it's taken her a long time to pay off on that. And almost to the point where you've forgotten she was from NXT.
I think she'd been
on the main roster so long that people had forgotten her past glories and whether she deserved, like, people were just going, she deserves stuff. Like,
I don't know.
True. I feel like the man Becky Lynch has been made on
the main roster, yeah.
And not, like, in a sort of immediate aftermath of coming out of NXT. Elias turned it around pretty quickly after coming out of NXT. He did, like, 4 walk-on spots and then suddenly was doing the music thing and he was pretty over.
Yeah. Yeah, I really can't think of anyone else in the, especially not recently, that has come in and had the impact that Elias has.
Apart from Becky.
Yeah, apart from Becky.
Becky was a good shout.
Becky was a very good shout.
And that's all from me. So to the people asking, no, Pete's chair has not been lowered. He is that short. and also, again, sorry for anyone who has not been able to see the video. It really isn't our fault. YouTube are having quite a few problems today. If you go on Twitter, you'll see that. And that's it. So, but yes, the video will be up later for anyone who can't see it now. So you can watch it then.
Tell me about WrestleTalk.com, Andy.
Oh, yeah. WrestleTalk.com is a source for news. It's been around for just over a year now, and it's growing and growing and growing. It's me and a bunch of other guys doing it every day. Weekends, days, covering shows, covering all the news, doing fun lists and things like that. So check it out, WrestleTalk.com. And all the videos go up there as well. And we've got some plans to do some cool kind of merging the YouTube and the site coming up in the near future. So that's that.
Thank you very much.
Cool.
Randy Andy Datsun.
Also, I have a very small torso. My legs are... most of my height, so you can't see that from here.
He's lying.
Let's not devolve into this, gentlemen, because that is all we have time for. Thank you so much for watching if you're watching live. Thank you for leaving comments. Thank you for your super chat. And if you're watching post the live stream, thank you also for watching. And you can also click all these lovely videos that have appeared down here to watch more awesome WrestleTalk content. Click a little button that will probably be around here to subscribe to the channel. I've been El Fakador Laurie Blake. This has been Chopper Pete. Over there is a Randy Andy Datsun. And that was NXT Rambling.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.